couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
There's only one movie opening wide this week, and that's The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. We'll be talking about that in great detail, including high frame rates.
Great detail.
48 frames per second. We're also going to throw in a couple other smaller ones that actually released last week, Deadfall and Hyde Park on the Hudson, plus DVDs and Blu-ray reviews. But Merry Christmas to everybody. I don't think we've said that yet.
No.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
And then,
do you know why this is such a great Christmas?
Why is this such a great Christmas?
I have not heard Christmas Shoes on the radio yet. Do you listen to Christmas music on the radio?
No,
you're
no.
You're not one of those people?
No, no.
You when hate I was Christmas? A kid. What do you say? No, none of that Christmas garbage for me.
When I was a kid, and still to this day, my mom would pull out all of her Christmas records on November 1st.
Oh, that's too
and
much.
And by December 5th or so, my dad and I would want to kill people over Christmas music. It was, it got really bad.
Did it ever get to that point? Did you actually ever kill anybody over Christmas music?
I plead the fifth on that one.
Okay. We'll search the papers where you grew up in Michigan.
It got bad.
If there are unreported murders in the Michigan lake area around, December 10th or so, then we can point the blame to you and your dad.
It was pretty rough. So I don't listen to it on the radio. Every once in a while, I'll put it on for a little while, but never more than a few minutes at a time.
My wife and I are very much in agreement that we will listen to Christmas, but you can't do it until the day after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
That's the rule. And the day we don't put up decorations or whatever, we always spend on Black Friday. We don't go out. We just decorate the house on Black Friday. And then you can listen to Christmas music. And then you've got a good 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And then it's over.
That is perfectly acceptable.
And that is it. Now, in Columbus, where we live, they have two Christmas stations. They have two stations that play continuous Christmas music. Well, it's not continuous Christmas music because, of course, they take ad breaks. Because it's radio. That's how it works. You're listening to this. You know that radio does include advertising. Here's the thing, though. Both those stations have these massively long breaks at the same time.
Oh.
I don't know why. Because you'd
think well-timed.
There would be like a certain business reason of saying, well, let's just bump our break a little bit differently because...
That would be smart.
Yeah. I mean, you're not running it to a really strict clock or anything like that. You can just... You know, say, well, let's get all the people who switch over. You know, I don't know what they're, but they haven't played Christmas Shoes. Christmas Shoes is the worst Christmas song ever. It is so awful. I'm not even going to explain it. You just go look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I don't think I want to.
And then punch
yourself.
It's
one of those. It's that time of year where, you know, I probably shouldn't be exposing myself to things like that.
The basic premise is this kid is at a department store and is asking this guy to buy shoes for him, these pretty shoes for his mom who's dying at home, so she can wear the shoes when she meets Jesus.
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, Jesus is probably going to be wearing sandals. What are you talking about? That's how he rolls.
Get some flip-flops.
He's like, and I mean, I'm like, oh, nice hustle, kid. Yeah, right. Your mom's dying. Whatever.
Oh, that's terrible.
I hate Christmas. And made movies out of it and everything.
Oh.
Not real movies. They're TV movies. Anyway, speaking of movies.
Let's talk about some movies.
Let's talk about the box office. We were oddly accurate again this week.
I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, amazing. Somehow
I have no idea how that happens.
We are respectful box office pundits now. You said Skyfall at $12 million.
I did.
I said Skyfall at $10 million. It was kind of splitting the difference here. $10.8 million. It did come out on top. And then I said Breaking Dawn would be $9 million. And again, Breaking Dawn, $9.2 million.
There you go.
I did not predict Rise of the Guardians had a bit of a bump.
Good for Rise of the Guardians.
Came in second with $10 million. Just under Skyfall. And then I said Playing for Keeps was going to make $9 million. And I was maybe about 60% correct on that. It made $5.8 million. Not a very good, strong week for movies because everyone's waiting for this week.
Right.
Because this week we have a little independent film called The Hobbit coming. Have you heard of this movie?
You know, I have. But, you know, just because I research so much.
This is your job.
Right.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Get with the program. other things to note, Lincoln is doing really great. It's cracking $100 million.
And it is getting a lot of award nominations.
It is.
And I am very happy about that.
Very excited. The BFCA nominations, the Critics' Choice Awards, came out this week. And I almost
emailed to congratulate you on your good taste.
Well, I love the fact, because that doesn't always fly, because sometimes stuff gets nominated that I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
They didn't listen to me. And with this, except for this, this is 40 nonsense going on in the nominations because that got shown. That showed
what
up
is that?
But yeah, BFC, Lincoln's huge. Les Mis is huge in the things. So yeah, even Skyfall got a whole bunch of, like, seven nominations.
I know.
It's getting best supporting actor nominations for Javier Bardem and Judi Dench. Best
not
supporting
bad.
Actress. So good for Skyfall.
Yes.
It's not just the song. Because I wouldn't be surprised if the song wins.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. So, anywho. Oh, because I watched Skyfall with my kids this weekend.
Right. You had your Rebondathon.
Our Rebondathon. So we watched all the Bond movies. Well, we watched Skyfall. And then they wanted to watch some cheesy ones. So we watched some of
which
the Roger
Moore's. Which is
awesome. Moore's. Yeah. And we made fun of it. They like making fun of movies. So, anyways, this is Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. And here is how you can get a hold of us. You can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies. You can give us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can reach us on the web at fatguysatthemovies.com. There's extra content there, too, if you want to check out bonus things and, you know.
Ooh, bonus things.
Yeah, bonus reviews and other podcasts.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. It's all in a big red bow. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM, or you can go and find us each on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I am KDK Reviews.
Yay. And you also have?
And nightsandweekends.com and realdiscovery.org.
Yes, if you want to find out more about what Kristen thinks about movies. Well, I mean, that's pretty much it. Books, too.
Books, too. Yes.
She does books. Anyways, let's go to the first movie.
Yes, let's do that. We are going to talk about Deadfall.
Yes.
In which Eric Bana and Olivia Wilde play a brother and sister on the run from the law following a casino heist gone wrong.
Hitch a ride. We can still make it to Canada.
What if you don't call?
Well, then I'm dead.
My folks, they live close to the border.
We're setting up roadblocks and search teams, but it is possible he could slip through.
The temperature's supposed to keep dropping.
This guy shot a cop in the face. This is a real deal, boys.
It's all right, little sis. It's a good sign when you feel a little bad.
So what did you think about this one?
First of all, Olivia Wilde's breasts are in this movie.
There you have it.
That's
extra star.
That starts off good.
Does anyone get hit by a bus in this movie? Because that's another star for on the Kevin scale.
No, but
I don't remember.
A deer gets hit by a car.
That's true.
That happens pretty quickly in the movie. You know what? This movie started, I watched it and I tweeted this out. I said, it starts out interesting. It gets a bogged down in the second act, and then it just gets dumb in the third act, in my opinion.
It does get kind of wacky in the end.
It's what it starts,
which is kind of fun.
Part of my problem with it is I don't know what the characters were supposed to be doing in this movie, and I don't think the writer and director knew as well, because the characters seem to change. Because the story being Eric Bana and Olivia Wilde, they play brother and sister, and they had done this heist. They don't explain what it was. They end up with this money and they get in a car crash and then they're kind of trying to escape.
Right.
But of course,
they're running for the border.
Yeah.
In northern Michigan.
Yeah. Which
in the
is
snow.
A little bit. That's, you could have chose a different place to do the heist, you know, like maybe Florida.
I liked it.
Well, that's because you grew up in that area.
I like the setting.
Yeah.
You know, it gives it that stark kind of treacherous feel to it.
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like in northern Michigan in the winter.
It can get crazy.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like the setting. It's
very Hannah.
I do like that.
Yeah.
But what I didn't like is I didn't like the character. Because his character was like, seemed very level-headed at the beginning. And then by the end, he just kind of turned into a crazy person.
Oh, yeah. He's just running around shooting people.
Yeah. And he's like the crazy guy holding people hostage. And I'm like, it just falls such cliche of him talking to people and saying certain things and taunting them. That's what I didn't like about it.
Well, this one, I really liked the idea of this movie.
Okay.
You know, that's one. It's got a really interesting idea and the story. It's an interesting concept and the characters, you know, how they work together. But something in the execution just kind of falls apart.
Okay.
So, you know, the characters are a little all over the place. And poor Kate Mara. She plays a small town cop who nobody respects her because she's a girl, and you know, I understand that. So, yes, did you want to say something?
We got to go to a break. Sorry, we'll come back, we'll finish talking, and then we'll talk about The Hobbit.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We were in the middle of talking about Deadfall when Kevin started waving at me.
I was trying to be subtle. And
there was no sublety there.
No. Well, I mean, no one heard it until you drew attention to it. The magic is gone.
I know, it's terrible. So anyway, with Deadfall, where was I? I don't even remember.
You're talking about poor Kate Mara.
Poor Kate Mara. She's supposed to play this small town cop that nobody respects because she's a girl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand.
And she's cute as a button.
Yes. And she just looks like a little girl playing dress up. Yeah. I mean, her whole costume looks like it was made for a large man. And she's in this big costume and she's like traipsing through the woods. And you're
they stuff her with paper towels all around
her. Poor Kate.
Body.
Yeah. So, and everything about it was a little bit clunky.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I still really appreciated the setting and I really liked the feel of it. But yeah, everything just feels a little bit off.
Yeah. It just felt like it was two different types of movies and they didn't know. They had a great setup, but then they kind of fell into cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it had an interesting setup.
Oh, yeah.
And what's funny is I was watching it right after I watched a couple episodes of Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
And the guy who plays the blonde guy who was in prison.
The boxer.
Yeah.
Who is the love interest.
He's Jax from Sons of Anarchy. And, okay. And he, what's funny is he's British, I think, or Australian. He's got an accent. What the heck do I know? I'm just a big, dumb American. He don't talk American. But he always talks he always plays basically just like American white trash.
There you go.
In TV shows and movies. What's your final grade on?
You know, I'm kind of on the fence on this one.
All right.
But, you know, just to represent my Michigan roots, I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
Oh, that's good for you. I'm not from Michigan. It sucks. So let's move on to the next movie. On Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're going to talk about The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. Peter Jackson returns to Middle-earth to tell the prequel to The Lord of the Rings, in which Bilbo Baggins joins up with Gandalf and a cadre of dwarves, to regain their kingdom.
Far to the east, over ranges and rivers, lies a single solitary peak. The dwarves are determined to reclaim their homeland.
I'm surrounded by dwarves. What are they doing here?
Oh, they're quite a merry gathering.
So, this is the Hobbit.
We will seize this chance to take back Erebor!
Here, Mr. Bilbo, where are you off to?
I'm going on an adventure!
You go first. I want to hear what you have to say about this. Because I got stuff to talk about, like frame rate and technical garbage.
Yeah,
that
picky
you don't
stuff. No. It, for me, watching this movie felt like going back home again. And for better or for worse.
There's a pull quote for the Blu-ray if I ever saw one.
For better or for worse. Now, I moved away from home several years ago.
Sure.
And whenever I go home, it's kind of this off-putting feel.
Okay.
On one hand, you know, everything is familiar. And you go to your favorite old restaurants and you see all your, you know, favorite places. But at the same time, all of the people have kind of changed and moved on. So it feels good to be back, but at the same time, it feels kind of weird.
You feel like you're a bit of an imposter and an invader in a certain way.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how this feels. You know, it's the same environment, and it looks gorgeous.
Same actors and director.
Well, kind of. And that's the thing. A lot of the people are different. You know, you have all these dwarves instead of, you know, all the characters that, while, you know, you're watching the Lord of the Rings movies, you got to know them all and really like them, and they were all individual. Now it's just a random bunch of dwarves, and you don't know who they are. And
they've got fat dwarf and good-looking dwarf and young dwarf and weird-looking dwarf and old dwarf.
You've got a lot of weird-looking dwarves.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't even know their names for most of them. Mm. So for that, it doesn't have the same heart.
Okay.
As the Lord of the Rings movies did.
Were you a big fan of the Lord of the Rings movies?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I liked them. I wasn't, you know, crazy about them. Mm. But I did enjoy them.
You didn't dress up in, like, wizard outfits and,
no.
as an elf and show up at the movies?
No, but I did see them in the theaters as soon as they came out every time.
Okay.
So.
See, I was never a huge fan of the Lord of the Rings movies. I never read the books. I remember when I was a kid in the late 70s was when the Rankin-Bass Hobbit TV special was.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that was a big deal in the late 70s, early 80s. They
I remember it
that.
Coming out on VHS or Beta.
I think they did. Yeah. They, I They may have actually put it in the theaters at one point.
I'm not sure.
They may have, like, in the early 80s. I can't remember. But I remember seeing it a couple times and liking it then. And I remember that was there was a popularity. And at the same time, Dungeons & Dragons was sort of getting the kids, although those whippersnappers were getting into that stuff. When I was around fourth, fifth grade kind of thing. And so I remember this. But beyond that, I never read the books. And any of them. The Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. So I'm coming at it from a different perspective. I know people are crazy fans of this stuff. And I thought when they made the Lord of the Rings movies, I thought they were a little long. And, you know, the first one had no ending, and the last one had enough endings for seven movies. So I had problems with that. I didn't think it was the greatest series. I wasn't terribly impressed with Peter Jackson. I thought he did a good job, but I thought he was sometimes being a little bit too beholden to the fans. But, you know, 10 years have passed. And now I'm watching this, and I said, you know, I really like this movie. I thought it was actually, it looks beautiful. It's very colorful.
Yeah, it does.
It's vibrant. It probably looks the best of all the Lord of the Rings movies. Of course, you have 10 years of technology going beyond it, so you can have better special effects. And I thought I was going to be bothered by it being 3 hours long, because the book's only 250 pages. But I was okay with it. All the extra stuff they threw in, the first 20 minutes of the movie, it takes 20 minutes to get to the beginning of the book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, but there's...
Which, to me, did feel a little unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things, you have to pull in old Bilbo and, you know, everybody needs to see Frodo again. It's like,
and there was
really
that,
necessary.
It does revel in that return to Middle-earth.
Which, if for good reason.
Yeah.
Because for that, I mean, the best parts of the movie are the parts that bring in the old characters. So when you go back to Rivendell and you see, you know, Elrond, and when you, you know, meet up with Gollum, these are the best parts in the movie.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're the characters that you remember and that you liked from before. These characters, well, you could take them or leave them.
But as I understand it in the books, the dwarves, it was just a group of dwarves. And they all had names and they all had personalities.
Yeah.
But it was really more, it was about Bilbo.
Right.
It's Bilbo's movie. Mm-hmm. It's Bilbo's book.
Yeah.
And Gandalf as well. And it's not as complex and deep of a movie, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun to watch. I've actually seen it twice because I went to go see it in a high frame rate as well.
Yep.
And first of all, if you're going to go see this, I recommend seeing it in 24 frames per second, the normal way, normal 3D, because it looks beautiful that way.
It does.
It's
gorgeous.
Probably, with the exception of Life of Pi, it's probably the best looking 3D movie you're going to see this year. It looks fantastic, and the imagery is fantastic. High frame rate will give it a video look. It's not, I hate using the term soap opera effect because that really implies a cheapness. It's not cheap looking. It just looks like a high definition video because the high frame rate gets very, very smooth. And so it has a very video look. Oddly enough, the CGI characters look better because they're all completely created in the computer, whereas the filmed elements tend to pop more video-esque. In that.
Okay.
And it's jarring at times. But I will say this. There are certain action sequences that look so much better because the camera moves so much. You get that double image sometimes in 24 frames. Because especially in these grand sweeping shots of New Zealand's countryside and that sort of thing. And trees. And you see double trees kind of floating around. You don't see that at all in a high frame rate. And there's a sequence where it's in the Battle of Goblins. That looks amazing in 48 frames per second. It's kind of hard to digest in 24. So I say it rocks. You say...
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
And when we get back, we're going to be talking about Hyde Park on the Hudson and the box office. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Is there anything else you wanted to say, Kristen, about The Hobbit?
I think we did a pretty good job of covering it. Yeah. I think for me, the best new part of this movie is Martin Freeman.
He's fantastic.
He is wonderful. He's the perfect Bilbo.
I've seen somebody say, well, he's sort of a new face. And he is to American audiences. I mean, people in Britain know who he is.
Right.
Because he's done Sherlock. He did The Office. And he's never had a big movie. But, yeah, he's a fantastic actor.
Wonderful. Yep.
So, Well, we're with Fat Guys of the Movies with Chris and Dorian Kramer and Kevin Carr. And next on our list, we're going to be talking about a very off-putting historical piece.
Speaking of a little bit off.
Off-putting. Hyde Park on Hudson. During the summer of 1939, FDR has bizarre affairs and hosts King George VI at his vacation home.
I'd been invited to visit with Franklin at his home in Hyde Park.
Daisy? What a rad trip.
What do you say you and I get out of here? Go someplace quiet?
And soon we became best friends. No king of England had ever visited America before, so Franklin invited them here to the country.
It was just one of those
At the picnic, the president's wife has organized that hot dogs be served as our main dish.
Are they trying to make fun of us?
I don't know.
All right, you go first. I want to hear what you have to say.
Where do you even start with this thing?
I don't know. That's why I'm having you do
it. I have no idea. This movie is such a mess. It starts out, it feels like the kind of movie that your grandma would watch on PBS on a Saturday afternoon.
Until?
Yes. Until this one scene that takes this whole movie in a direction that you really did not want it to go. And then it's just all out bizarre.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, there's this bizarre relationship between FDR and his fifth or sixth cousin.
Whatever the case may be.
But it's all hinted at.
Yeah.
After the one scene, it's all a bunch of hints and suggestions and this is going on, but we're not really going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But you really need to know that it's big and scandalous, but you'll just have to take our word for it.
But it's okay.
Yeah. We don't want to offend anybody by talking about it, but the whole movie revolves around it.
Yeah.
It's just it's a mess.
It's really weird. I remember last year I described Albert Nobbs as I described it as it's upstairs, downstairs, what? And that's pretty much what I felt with this movie. Although there's just upstairs.
Yes.
Well, there's a little bit of downstairs going on.
Well.
But if you know what I mean, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's all hinging upon these weird extramarital affairs with cousins. And is this supposed to be scandalous? Because I never heard anyone like complaining from the FDR camp.
I don't know. And I think that's the idea that they're getting, that this is a big scandal. And, you know, but we don't want to step on anybody's toes. So we're not going to make it a big deal. But, you know, it's a big scandal, but it's OK.
Yeah.
And it's such an uneven thing. I mean, if you're going to make a movie about a political scandal, go all out.
Yeah. But it does have this sense. He's having an affair with his sixth cousin in this movie. And even then, the affair's kind of like, well, we were just more than cousins.
We were very good friends.
Very good friends. And it makes no sense. And then it kind of swerves into this weird thing with
King
with the
George
British King
and hot dogs.
Yeah, and how hot dogs are supposed to be the symbol of bringing Britain and America. Because it's actually the first time a British monarch was hosted in America.
Right.
People don't realize that because the countries especially at that time, it was, you know, it was less than 200 years old, 150 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, I mean, it's not like, you know, Britain's been around, you know, since, you know, when the dinosaurs, I think, wasn't that?
My history. That
might
was
be
the
wrong.
First king, actually, of England was a dinosaur.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes.
So it makes sense that I'm like, okay, when you realize, oh, yeah, the country's young. And, of course, there was a bitter because we didn't break off.
Well, you know, there was a little bit of that. Yeah.
So, and it was a big deal. But you know what I'm getting tired of? I'm getting tired of King George in award movies.
This poor guy.
I mean,
really.
The King's Speech, and then they had.
He stuttered. Okay, just get over it.
Then we had We last year, which was a terrible movie.
Hmm.
And that was about the usurpation of the throne and all that.
Or
avocation. Abdication, whatever that word is. I don't know what it is.
We'll just move on.
It's British. It's some sort of hoity-toity nonsense.
And it just, to me, it felt like, you know, they drag out the whole thing with this stutter again. I'm like, you know what? Give the guy a break. We already saw this in the King's Speech. We've been there.
He should have walked in and been like, "Hey, Governor, what's up?" That was my British accent if you missed it a couple weeks ago.
You have the best British accent.
Please speak American. Yeah, Hyde Park on Hudson, I don't know what it was trying to do. I don't think it knew what it was trying to do.
It is so icky and uncomfortable.
And weird. And then it just kind of like, then it kind of just blows it all off at the end. You're just like, well, okay.
Yeah, in the end, everybody's just okay.
They're just like, yeah, so
And
what?
It gets weirder and weirder. And in the end, everybody's like, yeah, this is just how it is.
Yeah. So instead of the king's speech, it was the president's picnic.
Right.
Yeah. And picnic could be a euphemism for other things.
Oh, dear.
Whoo! All right. Now, what's your grade on that one?
Oh, it sucks.
It sucks. I think so, too. They were doing a push for this. I haven't seen this. I've seen no buzz on this movie. None.
Although, I believe Bill Murray just got a nomination for the Golden Globes.
Well, it's the Golden Globes. They don't mean anything.
Still.
It's the Golden Globes. I mean, what do they pay them? They're like, but
I'm
what is
just saying.
Did it come in the comedy? Because I saw that it was listed as a comedy. I don't pay attention to the Golden Globes. Was it for a comedy or was it for
drama? I think it may have been.
See,
I
you never can trust those comedies.
Yeah,
they don't
know
what
it was.
They're like, well, we're going to give it to Mark Wahlberg for Ted? Are you kidding me? And that's the Golden Globes. They're like, they didn't buy us anything. maybe all the Golden Globe, the Hollywood Foreign Press was brought to Hyde Park on Hudson and fed hot dogs and gone out into the field with Laura Linney, and maybe that's what happened.
Well, I don't know, because, you know, at the same time, they could be scandalized because they were friends with FDR.
Yeah, geez, because they've been around. Or they were friends with, you know, King George, who, you know, during the Revolutionary War, too.
Yes.
They're old people. That was our joke. Ha ha! Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr, and it's time for box office predictions.
Ta-da-da-da! Oh, dear.
All right. I have my number in mind. I want to know, do you think Hyde Park on Hudson is going to come back from behind and get the top spot
this week? Oh, totally.
Week?
Yes. Yeah. I give it $150 million.
Wow.
Yes.
After
and
this
1 cent.
Yeah, and 1 cent. And 1 penny, Drew. Do you want to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. I think the Hobbit, well, the Hobbit's going to win, obviously.
Really? You think so?
I think so.
I think I'm going to go with Skyfall.
I think the Hobbit's going to get $110 million this weekend.
You think so? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go a little low.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with $99,999,000.
Just under $100 million.
$999.99.
Why do you come to the, why do you think it's not going to break $100 million?
I don't know. I think it is, actually. I just thought 99 million was a more entertaining number.
It's more of a lots of nines.
Yeah, I like nines.
This is going to be the last big box office weekend before the world ends, so why not?
Well, yeah.
That's I
Everybody
think
go to movies.
It's going to
really
drive people there.
Well, you know, if the world's going to end, do you really want to spend your last weekend in a movie theater?
For The Hobbit, sure. Why not? It looks cool. You know, why not? Go to Middle Earth. Or watch Hyde Park on Hudson and
there's
see
that.
If Laura Linney will come by afterwards and
yikes.
Help you out.
Happy, oh,
happy endings
dear.
For Laura Linney. Anyway, I think
this show is getting icky.
I said $110 million. And the reason I think it's going to do extremely well this week, it's not going to be like $200 million. And it's not going to be $150
well, it's
million.
December.
It's been 2 weeks since there's really been any big movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are itching for something.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
People want to go to the theater. I went and I clicked on the high frame rate midnight show in Ohio, in Columbus, for back on Thursday, and it was sold out. The regular one wasn't, and I know they're charging more for high frame rate in some cities. I think people are going to go out and get the novelty. I think people, you got the Hobbit fans at one of the screenings, they were cheering at this
movie.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
So I there's nothing else out there. There's nothing else to compete with. I think if people are going to movies this weekend, 90% of them are going to go see this.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why it's going to have a really – it's going to have a big
– Oh, I agree. It's going to be big.
Yes. So, and then it'll be like – I think it'll just keep ratcheting down Skyfall and – I'll bet you Rise of the Guardians might hold on to its spot at number 3 now because it'll be –
I hope
not,
so.
I like that movie.
Yeah. I watched it again over the weekend.
Anyways, that's our predictions. When we get back, we are going to be talking about DVDs and Blu-rays.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
That's me. No,
hello.
I'm Kevin Carr. You're Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
I am.
You did it backwards.
Sorry.
Well, you did it the way I did that. I'm trying to be nice and put you first sometimes.
I appreciate that.
I don't want to be accused of being misogynistic on this show.
Yes, because that would be the worst thing that you could be accused of.
Because I didn't start off my review of Deadfall by talking about Olivia Wilde's breasts.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about that. No.
So, yes, here we are. And we've been talking about some interesting movies this week.
Okay. There's the oddly disturbing Hyde Park on Hudson.
Yes.
And the completely uneven Deadfall and the little independent film called The Hobbit.
Yes. I think that about covers it.
Yes. What should we talk about next?
I think it's time for our DVD roundup.
That's right. Yeehaw. There's a couple big movies out there. Actually, there are three pretty large movies out this week. There's The Bourne Legacy, which is the latest Bourne film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to steal this from a friend of mine on Twitter, Temple of Reviews, at Temple of Reviews.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm getting ready to watch The Bourne Legacy. You know, I always thought that Jason Bourne was the whole story. Am I going to be surprised with this? This movie was so, it took so much time saying, this is a Bourne movie and we have Jason Bourne, but he's not in it. There's a lot of time devoted to that in the movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, how are you going to explain that? It's a Bourne movie and he's not in it.
Yeah. And it also has more wolf punching than the wolf punching movie from January, The Grey.
The wolf punching movie.
Well, that's what The Grey was. Everyone's like, this is the wolf punching movie. Not a single wolf gets punched in The Grey.
But a lot of them do in
I don't know if I would say actual punching, but there's a little more wolf wrestling going on.
Oh, even better.
You've seen The Bourne Legacy.
I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, you were popping kids out this summer.
I was.
Kids. He's like you're like in a shooting gallery. Go, p-king, p-king, p-king.
I scored 10 points.
I did like
and got a whole bunch of those tickets.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Did you buy a Frisbee with them?
And some candy.
Oh, awesome. The Bourne Legacy was good. I liked it. I thought it was, it's not as much an action movie as it is a slow burn political thriller. But it has some great action scenes in it.
Does it have the shaky cam?
Not as much as the other Bourne movies
Oh,
did,
thank goodness.
Because Paul Greengrass didn't direct it.
Right.
So there's also Ice Age Continental Drift. Did you see that one this summer? Again, you're throwing kids at walls and that kind of thing. It's okay. The Ice Age movies have kind of deteriorated into real big budget crappy TV shows.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about it, did you get a copy of it to review?
I didn't, no.
If you get a chance to watch it in like Spanish and see if you can follow it. Because my theory of this movie, they do extremely well overseas. And I think they do well overseas is because you really don't have to understand it. You don't have to follow the story.
But I do understand a little bit of Spanish.
Oh, well then watch it in like, you know, Czechoslovakian or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, yeah. I'll do that.
See, there you go. But it's that it works really well for an international audience because you don't really need to understand the language. Even if you're like, if you're like in a place that has dialects or that sort of thing, and you know, you don't need to read the subtitles to really figure out what's going on.
Well, there you go.
That's my theory on these movies.
So it's like The Artist.
Yeah. with a cute fuzzy animals too, because there was Uggy in that one too. Malcolm McDowell, he was in that. He's fuzzy in that movie.
Perfect.
Ice Age Continental Drift is out on DVD and Blu-ray and 3D Blu-ray and all that good stuff. There's also Ted.
I saw that one.
You did see Ted.
I did.
I liked Ted. Did you like Ted?
It was okay. Mm-hmm. I really liked the first half.
Okay.
And after that, the whole novelty of it all kind of wore off. And then I was like, it's just another movie about a guy with his outrageous buddy.
Okay.
So
Do you like Seth MacFarlane stuff?
I haven't really watched a lot of Seth MacFarlane stuff.
I found that Seth MacFarlane stuff is sort of like The Big Bang Theory,
mm-hmm.
where people either really, really like it, or they just hate it with such a passion, and they got to let everybody know how much they hate it.
I don't hate it with a passion.
No, okay.
I've seen it, and I was like, it's all right.
Yeah. I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, and you're right about it kind of just becoming a goofy story about a guy with his buddy, it just happens to be a teddy bear.
That talks in.
I thought it was very funny.
With a Boston accent.
Yeah. I thought it was very funny, but by the time he gets to the end of the movie, it just, and this happens a lot with comedy movies.
Mm-hmm.
They have these outrageous premises and they sort of are making fun of their own shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, they kind of have to go through the motions of what they're making fun of.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they did that a little bit.
And they try to be sweet in the end. Yeah. And
well, they don't always. But I mean, Mark Wahlberg's funny in it.
He is.
Mila Kunis is funny in it. And of course, Seth MacFarlane is the teddy bear.
There's a talking teddy bear.
That's right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer.
You are.
Yeah. I'm a sea cow. With sea cows, Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and Kevin Carr. That's a Jim Gaffigan bit, by the way, if you don't know who that is. Anyways, there's some older movies that are getting Blu-ray releases. You've got Dick Tracy on Blu-ray.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I saw it years and years ago.
Yeah. What's funny about this movie is with all the makeup they put on everybody, and Warren Beatty was too vain to actually put a Dick Tracy nose on. Which I always found funny in that movie, because I'm like, Dick Tracy always had that massive shot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so he didn't, not that.
Oh, Warren Beatty.
And it has Madonna in it. What?
Yes.
This is back before she got a British accent. There's also Following on Criterion, which is Christopher Nolan's first film. Have you ever seen Following?
I haven't.
It's interesting.
That one, I think I need to see it.
It's worth watching because it's Nolan at that the uber low budget, pre-Memento.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth seeing. It's not a great movie, but it's an interesting movie, and it's impressive for the level that it is.
Oh, yeah.
So, pre-Batman. There's also Les Miserables.
Nice.
I told,
well said.
I told Nick Arum from Movies Hate You Too and On the Marquee.
Yes.
I told him, because he was worried about that. He says, I don't know how to pronounce it. I go, if you can get through Les Miserables, anything after that is fine. Les Miserables. Les Miserables. Anything. That's French. You just smear it all together at the end of the name. This is the 1998.
Thank you for tipping him off on that because I have to record a show with him later.
Well, good.
Thanks
good.
A lot.
That'll be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That's my gift to you. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is the 1998 movie with Jeffrey Rush and Liam Neeson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming you've seen this.
I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
But you, like, love classical literature.
I know, but...
Did you read the original book?
I didn't.
Oh, my God.
It's like 5,000 pages long.
You're fired. I'm going to put on a bad wig. I'll be the Donald. You're fired.
That also is a great impersonation.
It's a terrible
Let's just move on.
Next up, Rich Little will be in the studio. I liked this version of Les Mis, probably more than the new one that's coming out. It's not the musical version.
Mm-hmm.
This is a book adaptation of the book.
Yep.
Part of it is Jeffrey Rush is fantastic in it. Anything with Jeffrey Rush.
You love Jeffrey Rush.
Jeffrey Rush is my favorite actor mm-hmm. ever. There's also Miami Connection, which is this. Do you know the history behind this movie?
A little bit, yes. It's from 1987.
Yeah, correct? It was this weird martial arts movie that was made in 1987 that went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drafthouse Films from the Alamo Drafthouse mm-hmm. discovered it and are re-releasing it because it is cheesy and goofy and ridiculous.
And that sounds wonderful.
It's right up the Drafthouse Films alley.
Mm-hmm.
The fans of the Drafthouse
yep.
Films. Now, I haven't seen it. I've seen trailers for it. I have not had a chance to see it, but I just want to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting one. And there's also Futurama, Volume 7. Are you a big Futurama fan?
Nope.
You know that you don't like it, or no, you just never watch it?
No, I just never watch it.
Okay.
You know, there's just so many hours in a day.
Would you, like you're busy at all?
Well, I do have the easiest job in the world.
That's right. Easiest job in the world. All you do is watch movies and talk.
I know.
Durr. No work ethic. Anyway, Futurama Volume 7. It's an interesting show. I don't like it as much as The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Volume 7, it gets a little more political than The Simpsons does. And it's goofy and it's silly. And it has some very funny parts in it. And this new mm-hmm. this one is as good as the last couple seasons. So it's sort of it's on this mode of just making more shows about the way they were. Which is good. Because once you can hit a stride with animation like
mm-hmm.
that. There's also the stinker of the week. It's Girls, season one. I'm assuming you'd never watch that.
No, I have avoided that one.
It's Lisa Dunham.
Yes.
And it is so, it's just whiny entitlement all over the place. It's just like, oh, I have to get a job.
Mm.
Oh, I
don't have a film critic. It's so easy.
Yeah. I watched like the first episode or two of this and it was awful. And I have no desire to watch it.
But everyone says it's the greatest show ever.
Yeah. Well, everyone's stupid then.
Well, there's that.
That is my assessment of the world. Anyways, we better wrap this up. The Hobbit, you said kind of rocks. I said it rocked. Deadfall, you said it kind of rocks because of the Michigan angle. I said it sucked. Hyde Park on Hudson, we did agree that movie sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Box office prediction, I say $110 million for The Hobbit. You said $99,999,999.99.
Yes, sir.
For The Hobbit. Next week, we're going to be talking about a bunch of movies. You got This Is 40, The Guilt Trip, Jack Reacher, Monsters, Inc. We might give a little bit of tease on Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, it'll be fun.
In the meantime, you can get us on fatguys@themovies.com. Other than that, we will see you guys next week, and Merry Early Christmas.